Is that good? I genuinely can't tell if that's good.
Oi, g'day, how are ya? It's Aidan Jones. You're listening to Sitting Under a Tree for Tuesday, the 9th of April, 2024. Fucking, alright man, listen, I keep saying it, I don't know how to like put this show in the canon of things that I've seen or whatever, but last night I've never seen anything better. I don't know if it was necessarily the absolute best thing I've ever seen. I don't know. It feels uncomfortable. But I've not seen a better show, I don't think, than the show I saw last night. Furioso by this Polish clown. I can't even remember his name. Let me find his name. Let me do the man a fucking, the fucking honor. Piotr Czesny Sikora. Is that maybe how you say it? And his show is called Furioso. And if you're listening to this when it comes out and you're in Melbourne, can I beg you to go and see either Tuesday the 9th or Wednesday the 10th? Those are his last two shows. He's at 10:30 at the Motley Bauhaus. I will be going again with a couple friends on Wednesday night. I've already bought my tickets. It's a small-ass venue. It will definitely sell out. The show is a clown show. He doesn't speak for the entire show. And he tells an incredibly basic story about a man who is angry and he's just being a man, you know? He's doing man stuff. And by the end of the story, it just made me feel... It was his last moment, one of the last moments in the show, and it made me feel like this guy understood everything that I felt when I was growing up, feeling angry and alone, and it felt like he was saying, I understand, and it's okay, and, you know, I get it, and I fucking bawled my eyes out, man. I cried. I cried in the show. And then at the end of the show, he finished. And fucking 2/3 of the audience literally leapt to our feet to give this guy a standing ovation. I couldn't even talk to anyone after the show. I was sitting next to my friend and we just kind of hugged. And she like put her head on my shoulder and we just hugged and didn't say a word, which is perfect. And then, yeah, walking out, you know, there were a few people who had recommended him to me who were there, and I just grabbed them by the shoulders and was just like, I fucking loved it so much. And then anyone else who tried to talk to me, I was like, yeah, man, I did love it, and I can't fucking talk to you right now. I just want to be alone with my experience of this thing. I don't know. I can't. I was just having too many feelings, man. I couldn't do it. I left the venue pretty quick and just went for a walk, walked to the tram. I'd Shazammed one of the songs. I'll put that song. Oh, yes. I'll put the song at the end of the episode this week. This song called Apollo by, I don't know, some Polish rapper. Which is crazy, isn't it? Arvi, Lewis Villain, and Sarius. Three people. And I listened to it a bunch on the way home. And found the lyrics and Google translated them from Polish into English and discovered that this song is about a guy who is going to blast off into space, which is a metaphor, I think, for killing himself. And that's pretty interesting. I spoke to the dude who put the show on today. You know, I posted about it on Instagram and he thanked me because, of course, he's an incredibly gracious person. And I just vomited all this stuff. I was like, man, I loved your show. It made me think about my dad who I never met. And I was like, you're Polish. I play piano. I'm writing a show about Chopin. And then fucking told him about my show. What a pathetic loser. Hey, man, I really liked your show. I'm actually cool too. Oh, I've seen so much good stuff in the last week. This has actually been such a good week. I'm so busy still. Really, really busy. Haven't had a moment to promote my show in Adelaide properly. I've messaged some people, but I just feel like I have all of these things that I need to do before I can properly, you know, like to promote the show, I want to put a post on Instagram, but to put a post on Instagram, I have to have a good image, and the image that I want, I've got the file that I need to alter from my friend, but to alter that, I need to learn how to use Photoshop, and I don't know how to use Photoshop, so I guess I'm just not going to post an image to Instagram. Do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. So, yeah. The next 3 months, between when I get back from this tour with my boy Milo Edwards, which I'm leaving for on Thursday, and I get back to Melbourne on the last day of the comedy festival, and we're going to party, and then it's work. And then I've got basically 3 months before I leave for the UK, and in that time, I would like to learn how to use Photoshop so that I can edit on Photoshop and I can make whatever assets I need to make, you know, for this show. I would like to edit some video to promote the show on Reels and then post it and then use those posts to make ads for Edinburgh. I mean, that's pretty easy. I don't know. I might need to get someone to caption them. I got one of these guys off like Reddit in a third world country to, you know, make the edits, and I just don't like the edits. Maybe I'll edit it and I'll get him to caption it. Whatever. Those are two things that I want to do, right? Make some assets, video assets, and learn how to use Photoshop so I can make any images I want. I also would like to lock down a venue for Melbourne Comedy Festival next year. Get that locked in. Get the fucking gallery sorted. My friend has agreed to art direct the show, which I'm so excited about. I was like nervous to call him. I called him the other day after work. I've been thinking about it for a couple of weeks, but I've just been scared to call him because it's like I want to work. He's like, you know, one of my oldest friends, and I'm like, I want to work on this thing with him, but I'm scared that he's not going to be as excited about the idea as me. And he's going to be like, oh, I don't know if I have time for that or whatever. I also want to respect his skill as, you know, like the fucking, the work that he does. And so I want to pay him. And I'm like, I don't know, just all of that. Entering into a professional relationship with a friend is scary. But I asked him in a kind of fumbling way and he said yes. He was like, let's do it. And immediately had plans. And I am now so, I was already excited, but I'm so much more excited about this idea to have the immersive experience. And like, oh, dude, the fucking show last night, man, it's so rare at a festival. Like, there are just times at these arts festivals, you know, when there's a show that is so exciting and it has that word of mouth and people start talking about it. And it just becomes like the hot show at the festival. And I feel like I haven't been the show at a festival, but I've definitely had experiences where like people are talking about my show and people are going and seeing it. And it's really exciting. And the show last night, this dude's show, Furioso, like he's not in a main venue. He's not, I don't know what, like the venue that he's in, Motley Bow House, I don't even know if it's part of the festival necessarily, but they don't do, you know, regular, I don't know, maybe they're doing shows for the festival. I've only just recently become aware of it as a venue. It's a fucking cool ass venue. It's really sick. But yeah, he's doing his show there and it's kind of out of the city. And I showed up there and there were when I got there, there were 25 tickets available, and I was like, am I going to get in on a pass? And they were like, yeah. And then I just saw how many comics were showing up, and I was like, I'm not going to get in on a pass. I need to buy a ticket. And everyone started buying tickets, and eventually I heard they turned people away. It was sold out, and they ended up turning some people away. And but it was one of those fucking nights, man, where it was like, oh my God, everyone's here. Everyone's heard about this show, and everyone's realized that this is like a really exciting show that people need to see. There was a buzz about it before the show. When we got into the show and he started doing it, it's clown, so it's like it's interactive. And I for a little bit, I kind of hated the audience because everyone was so excited. I was like, can you guys fucking relax and just watch the show rather than being like, yay. But who am I to dictate how people enjoy a show? You know, that's my... That's totally my own shit. Hey, everyone's just having fun and getting involved, and I'm like, can you guys shut the fuck up? Oh man, you know what? I was at the Immigration Museum today. I went to the Immigration Museum to check out this exhibition that they've got. Listen to me, man. I'm fucking out here enjoying art. Oh God, I feel so open to the world and experiences right now. I went to the Immigration Museum today to check out this exhibition. It was all right, you know, it was fine. But there were some other exhibitions at the Immigration Museum that had nothing to do with what I went to see. And, you know, they're about identity. It was some cool stuff. I really enjoyed it. And then there was one bit, it was like a little hidden section, and it was like, it was about racism, and it was like, hey, do you want to see, you know, what it's like to experience racism? And you go behind this little corner and then you press a button and it plays a video of a tram, and there's like some people talking, and then there's like a black guy and he answers a phone call, and as he just before he answers the phone call, the tram stops and this like kind of middle-aged white guy gets on the tram, and then the black guy takes a phone call and he starts talking in like another language. And the white guy is like turning to him and looking at him. And then he goes, hey, you're being really loud. Can you be quieter, please? Can you talk quieter? And then the white guy like drinks like a can of V. And then, and then everything up until that point is like pretty realistic, and I can see their point that they're trying to make. And then the white guy drinks his can of V and then he crushes it really loudly, and then like gets it between his hands and like smushes it. Like, you know, when you're in cartoons, when they like punch their fist, they're like, oh boy, I'm going to get you. And they like punch their fists. He like does that with the can between his hands while he's like staring down this black guy to be like, that's what I'm going to do to you, you fucking outsider. And it was just like, I could see the point they were trying to make, and it was about subtle, nuanced racism, and it doesn't have to be like, yeah, fuck you, N-word. It can just be like kind of passive-aggressive body language and whatever. But the last thing was like, that was straight-up aggressive. I don't think it needed that. I think it would have been more impactful if he hadn't cartoonishly scrunched up a can and smooshed it with his hands while staring this guy down. But I guess, I don't know, maybe they needed to make their point of like, look how aggressive this behavior is, and that's not okay. But when the guy was talking on his phone, I mean, yeah, he was talking in another language, and I guess the implication is this white guy is annoyed because the guy's talking loudly, but also because it's in another language and he feels like, you know, threatened by, he feels like this foreignness is being kind of put upon him, and that's why he reacts with anger. But a part of me was like, I don't know, man, people talking loudly on their phones on public transport just is annoying, whether they speak in English or not. This motherfucker today on the train, was it today? I think it was today on the train. I got the tram into the city, and someone was just playing a fucking video. No, that's what it was. Oh my God. There's been a couple. I just don't like people playing their phone loud on public transport. I think it's really rude. But today, oh my God. Oh, this is crazy. I'm kind of crazy for doing this. I was in a toilet stall in the shopping center, and there were just two toilet stalls next to each other. And they were both locked when I got there, so I had to wait. And I could hear one of the people in the stall was playing a game on their phone, and they were playing, the volume was right up. I just kept hearing it go like, good that we get resources right when we needed resources. Like some fucking stupid phone strategy game or whatever. And I got, the person left next to them, and then I got in the stall and I sat on the toilet and I could see their pants around their ankles. So it's like they're sitting on the toilet, but they're just playing some phone game. Maybe they're on a break from work. I don't know. But like, put your headphones in or turn the volume down. Do you really have to play with the volume up, you fucking psycho? It's just annoying. But then a part of me started rationalizing it more, you know, like thinking, oh, this is so dramatic. Going like, you know, the sounds that they use on those phone games that are especially made to like addict you to them. But what if I'm a recovering gambling addict and that sets me off? All right, Aiden. Yeah, okay, sure. I find it hard to come to terms with the fact that I am a crotchety old man and I just don't like hearing other people's fucking stuff. But whatever. I'm sitting on the toilet. I'm listening to his phone game, and then I finish my disgusting, shameful business, and I fucking pull my pants up and I wash my hands. But while I'm in the toilet, I'm formulating a plan. I'm like, this guy's annoying. Now, I'm not going to tell him to shut up, but I do want something bad to happen to him. So before I left the toilet stall, I pulled myself like a big roll of toilet paper, like a handful. I can't believe I did this. And I washed my hands and then I ran the toilet paper underwater and I threw it into the stall and then walked out of the toilet. I'm a fucking psycho, hey. I just was annoyed at him. I wanted to tell him to shut up, but I was scared. So instead, it didn't hit him. I was a bit bummed. Like I threw it, but I was so in a rush because I'm a coward. I was so in a rush to leave the toilets that I kind of threw it and it like hit the wall and stuck to the wall just like above him. I'm sure he would have seen it. I don't know what he thought. You know, what he would have thought was going on. But my plan was to throw it, to lob it over the toilets and have it just like land in his lap, ideally on his phone screen. And then him be like, whoa, whoa. But his pants are down around his ankles, so it's like he can't chase me. And then I walk out, I just bail, and he's screaming. And he's fucking, he loses his game, I don't know. But yeah, man, it's annoying. Don't play your fucking stupid phone game on full volume. Cunts do that on the tram too, on the train. You know what? It doesn't happen on the tram. It happens on the train. Because tram, there's nicer people, you know? It doesn't happen as often on the tram as it does on the train. You always get these motherfuckers. I don't know. I ride the train with my bike and I'm sure people find that annoying. So whatever. Anyway, what was I talking about? Motley Bauhaus, annoying people. I've lost my train of thought. The show was amazing. I loved it. Oh, yeah. My friend, I fucking got my friend to art direct my show. I don't know, man. What the fuck was I talking about? I saw another show on yesterday, like earlier. Martin Urbano, that was a great show. It's interesting. Like, these Americans keep coming over to UK and Australian arts festivals with, you know, I guess they've heard that there's a certain type of show that you have to do here where there's like a narrative or a thing or what, a gimmick or whatever. And they just don't know how to do it. They don't know how to do it. This Martin Urbano dude, like, it was great. It was good, funny. And the idea was like that he's a comedian, you know, on the apology tour, who all the jokes were like in the character going, hey, fuck all of these people who want me to apologize for my behavior. And the joke is like, haha, that's what these comedians do. And it was funny. It was really funny. But by the end of the show, it was also like, where's the arc here? It's just this character for an hour, you know, like it's no, there was no like, where's this going? What's the point of this? What are you trying to say? Other than fuck these people. I don't know. There was no like real work done to actually figure out a perspective. I mean, there was work done to be funny and it was very funny. I'm not saying it's a bad show, but I don't know. I think I'm starting to come around on the way that we do comedy here. American comedy is great. I don't fucking know what I'm talking about, man. I should have done some planning for this podcast, I reckon, because I can't remember the stuff that I've done in the last week, and I've been so fucking... I've been working a bunch. I had a weird tour on... I beat the record. I beat the record for me and my friend are racing to see who can do the tour the fastest. And I beat him. The group that I had were kind of weird. I shouldn't bitch about the groups that I have at work. But that's all I've been doing. I've just been working and thinking about the show. Actually, I've got a couple jokes for the show that I can share with you. That's another thing I'm going to do in the next 3 months. I'm going to do some research. You know what? This podcast this week is called In the Next 3 Months. And the photo is going to be a photo that I took of Furioso. Oh, you know what another great thing about his show was? The character that he does, he, like in Clown, I guess they have like a little thing to change the face or whatever. That's what the red clown nose is, you know, any little thing to kind of change the face. And his thing that he has to change the face is he wears a mouth guard and it just changes the shape of like his mouth outwardly. And he's usually has his mouth closed. It just, it's so subtle and so perfect. It's really such a wonderful touch. Then he puts it in and he becomes Furioso. And then he takes it out and he's just this guy, Piotr. At the end of the show, he takes it out and then he just talks to us, you know, like, hey, thanks for coming to the show, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's been amazing, whatever. And it's like, oh, he's not Furioso anymore. It's just a mouth guard. Amazing. That's going to be the photo for this week, is the photo of that I took of him towards the start of the show when he told everyone to take photos. Another thing I'm going to do in the next 3 months is read more about Chopin. Just learn as much as I can about the guy to inform the show and mine for more stories in the show, because there's going to be so much out there and I want to put as much into the show as possible, because I have the ending, and the ending is even a little bit clearer to me now than it has been. And I think by the end of Edinburgh, I want the show to be pretty well there. All of the bits need to be, all of the like jokes and stuff need to be kind of pretty well in. And then after that, it's just going to be like kind of slight. It needs to be at like 90% by the end of Edinburgh, I reckon. And then in the 6 months after that, when I'm performing it leading up to Melbourne, that'll just be putting extra little touches on, you know, adding a few tags, little jokes, things like that. So in the time between now and Edinburgh, I want to just be filling my head with knowledge about Chopin and stories and stuff. Okay, here's a joke that I thought in the middle section of the show. It's going to be like there's a sadness to it, and I want to say like Chopin had a lot of things to be sad about. You know, like his health was fucked his whole life. I've been reading a little bit about that. I read like this article in a medical journal talking about his cause of death and debating it and stuff. His sister died of tuberculosis when she was 13. He had another brother who was died as an infant. His other sister made it to later life, I think, to like she was 70, and he died at 39. 39, how fucking crazy is that? But he was just tiny his whole life. He was my height. He was like 170 centimeters, and he weighed 45 kilos. I weigh 72. So my height and about a 2/3 of my weight. And you know, he was sick for his whole life, respiratory conditions, and like in his teenage, like when he was 16, apparently for 6 months, he had just like headaches, nausea, some vomiting, just like crazy, you know, sickness. And one thing that always pops up that is like maybe the toughest is that he was never able to grow a beard. Isn't that funny? Funny that they include that in this long list of symptoms, and also funny because the fact that they included it, I feel like you wouldn't notice if someone couldn't grow a beard unless they always talked about it. So it's like this guy, he's like sick, coughing all the time, and all he cares about is just like, oh, fucking man, I'm still on bum fluff. It's pathetic. He's like hacking up his lungs in the mirror going, you're pathetic. I don't know. There's something about manhood in there. He couldn't grow a beard. I think that needs more. But anyway, that's something. And then there is, all this other stuff. Like he was, I've been reading about the history of Poland and how that fits into his life, because this is something that I keep wanting to put in the show. So he left. A big thing about his life was he left home. He was born and raised in Warsaw in Poland. And then he went to Vienna. He was born in 1810 and he went to Vienna in 1830 for 9 months. And then he went to Paris. Because when he got to Vienna, only like a couple months later, there was a November uprising in Paris. In Warsaw, in Poland. Now, what's the November uprising? Well, Poland in 1810 actually wasn't a country. So in 1795, Poland was basically split up by the three countries around it. There was Russia, Austria, and Prussia, which is a different country to Russia, even though they got the same name, which I think is dumb. But whatever, it's one where I wrote a joke about that today. I'd be like, it'd be like if New Zealand wasn't called New Zealand, if it was called Pastralia. That's the first time I've said that out loud, and I think funny. And we're like, New Zealand, you know, it's just like the same as Australia, just Pastralia. Are you saying Australia? They're like, I'm actually saying Pastralia. That's a very different country. That's a completely different country with a completely unique culture. And we're like, well, if it's a unique culture, why don't you call it something else, like a different name? Like, I don't know, New Zealand. And they're like, what even is that? New Zealand? I don't even know what Old Zealand is. That's stupid. No, we're calling it a real name for a real country, and that country's name is Australia. That's funny. I like it. Anyway, so Poland in 1795 was split up, partitioned by Prussia, Russia, and Austria. And then they didn't become a country again until 1919. It was 123 years. No, 1918. 123 years. Is that 123? Wait, 95... Yes. Yeah. So when Chopin was born, Polish identity, Polish language, but Warsaw was, I think, a part of Prussia, but most of Poland was Russia. And in 1930, a bunch of them tried to revolt. This was the November uprising, and Russia pretty heavily stamped it out. There was like a military rebellion. There was fighting. People died, all this stuff. And that happened when Chopin had just, he was 20 and he had just gone to Austria and he wanted to go back to Poland and fight in the resistance. I think he was 21 when it happened. It was November 1830, so he would have been. Or was it? Fuck, I don't know. I wrote it all down. It's in my other notebook. And he wanted to go back, and his dad was like, no, you'll be much better to fight with your music than with guns. So he moved to Paris. And he had had a period of like really intense depression in Austria because he wasn't sure if he should move to Paris or not, and he was torn. But he moved to Paris, and that's kind of where he spent the rest of his life. And he never went home. He never got to go home. He died in 1849, 39 years old, having spent half of his life away from his homeland and missing it. And he wrote all of this music, the Polonaises, the Mazurkas, this like really heavily Polish-influenced music that no one had really done that before. He wrote songs that were apparently people have interpreted as being like very clearly about the November uprising and the people who died. I mean, he'd lost friends, family members, you know. And he spoke French. And he was, his dad was French. That was the name. Chopin was a French name that they kept. But when he died, he asked for his heart to be sent back to Poland. And it was, and it still is. It's kept in like some kind of pickled brine or some shit. I know that because in the medical article, they're talking about, could we, oh, this is funny. This could be a joke. They're like, they basically, there's a debate over whether he died from tuberculosis or not. And people are like, you know, we've got his heart, so we could open it up and cut a bit out and do a biopsy. And it's just like, you guys are so fucking weird, man. Just relax. like a doctor in Poland was like applied to like the Polish fucking National Trust or whatever to be like, hey, can we have Chopin's heart because we want to cut it up and run some tests on it? And they were like, how about you fuck off? You fucking weird cunt. He's dead. Yeah. When I first read that, I was like, oh, I don't know, it would be nice for medical science to be able to, you know. But now that I say it out loud, I'm like, no, dude, he wanted his heart sent back to Poland because he missed his home and he loved it. Can't you fucking just let the guy's heart just be there and not run biopsies on it and fucking do weird stuff? You don't need to. That's funny. I'm writing that down. I'm writing down in my notes, Aidan Jones, I'm writing down, it's weird that doctors want to do tests on Chopin's heart. Yeah. I reckon that could be a funny joke in the show. But there's something... The fact that the piece that I'm basing the show around was written by him, probably when he was still in Warsaw, but it was published when he was in Paris. So the kind of time that he would have been, I guess, working on and perfecting that piece before it was published. So I feel like a piece being published is analogous to like, you know, a comedian releasing a special. You're really just drawing, you're drawing a line under it. You're being like, it'll probably change after this, you know, whenever I perform it, I'll do it differently. But me putting it down on paper, I'm drawing a line under it and saying, this is what it's going to be for posterity. So the years leading up to then, when he was working on it and performing it at concerts and stuff before he wrote it down, that would have been when he was really connecting with it. And probably when he wrote it down, that was him saying, I'm done, you know, like expressing myself through this piece, or at least for now, or like, you know, I've got other stuff that I want to move on. So this piece spans the period of his life from living in Warsaw with his family where he grew up to moving away to Vienna first, and then the November Uprising, and then moving, like having this kind of doubt, and then moving to fucking Paris where he spent the rest of his life. And he wasn't sure, he wasn't to know in that time that he was first of all to die age 39, and second of all to die having never returned to his home. He wasn't to know that. And I wonder if every year after that, there was this kind of slow dawning realization that that he was never going to get to go home. You know? It's so fucking sad and tragic. Yeah. I was trying to write a joke about how I'm not good at sitting with sadness and whatever, but actually I don't think that's the appropriate joke there. I don't know what it is. I don't know what the joke there is, but this is going to go in the show. It's so just the sadness and the tragedy of that is so compelling. It has to go in the show. I've also realized about the show that the whole objective of the show is to have people connect with the music and react to it, hopefully by projecting some of their own story onto the emotional journey that I describe in the show. So when I play the piece in full, people have thought about the piece and about the way that Chopin uses it to evoke emotion and tell a story in a way. They've thought enough about that, that when I play the piece, they're thinking, you know, how does this music make me feel? How does it make me feel about my own life? How do I feel about the things in my own life? Or does this emotion remind me of any emotion that I've felt in my life? And if so, what emotion? And I think just like, I mean, the show last night did such a good job of, because it's, there were no words in the show. He didn't speak. It was just kind of these fun games illustrating specific stories. But like, because it was mime, it almost felt like each, like I can say the first thing that happens in the show is he plays this silly game with someone where he gives them a police helmet and they're a police officer, right? And then they chase him around and he's the angry guy and he's like, yeah, bang, 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 fuck you. It's like a little cops and robbers thing. And that's a fun game, but it's also like kind of demonstrates, you know, a man who is angry and fighting against authority for a reason that you're not really sure even what it is. And maybe he doesn't even know what it is, but he's just fighting. And it's like a silly game and it's a specific story unfolding in front of us, but it's also like very much a metaphor for just a larger phenomenon with men and the way that men behave. And because of that, I guess it like allows you as an audience member to project what you're thinking about your life onto this, you know? And I want to do that in my show. I want to have these bits of music and the story and I go, okay, this is how this bit works here. Fuck, maybe I should even like explain the music first and then play it. I don't know, whatever. But I just, whenever I play the music and then explain it, I want people to be, I guess, asking themselves, like, how does this music make me feel? And when have I felt those things in the music? When have I felt those things in my life? What situation or story or whatever in my life has made me feel that? And why did Chopin do that? What was going on in his life? Or like, I'll tell a story and I want people to go, the person in that story, how would the thing that happened to them have made them feel? And how would I feel if I was that person? Like, I want people to be engaging with the shit that I'm saying on a deeper level than just like, ha 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 ha, funny or whatever. And I would like to figure out how to do that. Because then, like reading Stuart Lee's book about how he crafted his shows, he talks about how like in the first half of some of his shows, you know, there are these big set pieces and in the first half of the show, he's like trying to soften people up and prepare them mentally and as an audience to react to the set piece in the second half in a way that is like going to get the right shit out of it, you know, that they're going to engage with it rather than just fucking seeing it and being like, well, that was weird. That they're like, why did he do that? Why did he make that choice? Anyway, I don't know. I feel like I'm rambling a little bit here. How's your guys' week been? You doing okay? Oh, I finished my tea and it's raining outside and I need to shave my head is what I need to do. I've got 3 more days of work and then I've got like a week and a half off where I'm going away with my boy. We're driving across the country. We're doing shows. I'm doing stand-up. I haven't done stand-up in fucking like a week, which is crazy. And I feel good about it. When's the last time I did stand-up? It'll be here. The last time I did stand-up was the 1st of April. Yeah, there you go. A week ago. I think a year ago even, I would have been freaking out about that. I would have been like, what's wrong with me? I've fucked it all up. But now, the next 3 months, I'm going to be doing not that much stand-up, I don't think, because I'm going to be working on all this other stuff about the show. I'm going to be working at my jobs to save money. And then I'm going to be, you know, teaching myself how to use Adobe and making marketing materials for this show and reading about Chopin so that I'm informed. And yeah, I'll write a few jokes here and there and I'll go to rooms and I'll test them and that'll be fine. But definitely not going to be doing 5 to 10 gigs a week. I'm thinking maybe 2 or 3, maybe 2. That's a good number. 2 gigs a week. Yeah. Anyway, look, thank you guys for listening to the pod. This is called The Next 3 Months. And the photo, as I said, is Furioso. Start of the show last night. And the song that you are probably hearing just coming in now is Apollo by Arvi and Lewis Villain and Sarius that I Shazammed in the show yesterday. And I hope you guys are having a good week and you're inspired and you're excited about the future as I am. Thank you for listening. This has been Aidan Jones sitting under a tree.
6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Wyłączyć telefon i połamać kartę. Wyjazd stąd nazwać nowym startem. Wziąć i wstawić auto do komisu. Mercedes S500, ale się nie popisuj. Wszystko co ważne zmieści się w plecak. Zdjęcie mamy, aforyzmy leca. Wziąć ją za rękę i pomyśleć o dzieciach. Taki odważny, a tak się boi obiecać. Zrzeć się sławy, bo to kula u nogi. Ciuchy z szafy tylko rozdać ubogim. Zrobić to, o czym się marzy od dawna. Ale wpierw się wyrwać z tego bagna. Zamknąć drzwi i wyrzucić klucz. Przestać się ranić po to, żeby coś czuć. Potem poczekać, aż wszyscy zasną. By w końcu zrobić mały krok jak Armstrong.
Spadamy jak z nieba pył. A ty jak moje serce musisz zostać. W noc widzę w górze sny. Oglądam kosmos i nie mogę wciąż spać. Nikt nie zabroni mi. Milion opinii, ale jedna postać. Teraz jest moje dziś. Mam tylko widok z okna, lecę w otchłań. Spadam jak z nieba pył. A ty jak moje serce musisz zostać. W noc widzę w górze sny. Oglądam kosmos i nie mogę wciąż spać. Nikt nie zabroni mi. Milion opinii, ale jedna postać. Teraz jest moje dziś. Mam tylko widok z okna, lecę w otchłań.
Poczuć szczęście bez łykania pastylek. Widywać się częściej, bo łączy nas tyle. Wziąć na spacer psa ze schroniska. Gdy ten poda łapę, serdecznie ją uściskać. Schować dumę i zaznaczyć na mapie. Wymazać twój numer i iść na terapię. Wygoić rany, nim znów je rozdrapię. Będąc pijanym, myśląc, że jest po sprawie. Wypożyczyć kilka mądrych książek. Przeczytać je wszystkie, o ile tylko zdążę. Hajs rozdać, żeby zostać bez grosza. Ostatnia prosta, nim się wzniosę przez tworza. Nie chodzi o to, żeby zdobyć księżyc. Tylko ten lęk, który muszę przezwyciężyć. Moje życie to misja. Miałem zacząć od jutra, a jutro jest dzisiaj.
Spadam jak z nieba pył. A ty jak moje serce musisz zostać. W noc widzę w górze sny, oglądam kosmos i nie mogę wciąż spać. Nikt nie zabroni mi milion opinii, ale jedna postać teraz jest moje dziś. Mam tylko widok z okna, lecę w otchłań.